talk to the Lord. Amen. He answers prayers. Thank God for that. All right. Romans chapter 10 tonight. Oh, that's right. Yeah, we need to be praying for Brother Tooley. Don't forget about him. They'll be leaving tomorrow, going back to England. So let's be praying for Brother Tooley, him and his family as they travel. So, amen. Romans chapter 10 tonight. The Epistle to Romans, the church at Rome. And I want to read a couple verses here out of Romans chapter 10 that are familiar verses that we all know, and give you thought. We're going to turn, got several different things we're going to say tonight, and going to try to just about turn to a passage for each one of these, and you'll see what I'm talking about here in just a second. But if you look in Romans chapter 10, and you'll look in verse number 17, Romans 10, verse 17, he says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." I'm interested really in verse number 17, that really, you know, very familiar verse to all of us, where he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word that he uses there, cometh, faith cometh by hearing, that carries the idea that faith, of course, it starts with the Word of God. We know that. It's planted by the Word of God. But faith is something that comes to us. It cometh and continues to come. In other words, faith, you don't get all that you're going to get the moment that you get faith. Does that make sense? Now, faith is something that can grow and can increase in our life, is what I'm saying. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a continuation, that's right. So it continues, it's like repentance. Once you repent, you keep on repenting. Once you put your faith in Christ, your faith continues to grow, or should continue to grow. And so faith has a lot of things that results, a lot of things in our life that results from faith. Obviously, everlasting life results from our faith in the right thing, right person. Put your faith and trust in Christ, and that results in everlasting life. It results in salvation. But then, as we go on living our Christian life, other things result from our faith. As our faith grows, these things grow. Like joy results from faith. The more faith we have, the more joy we're going to have in our Christian life. And I was thinking about confidence is a result of faith. The more faith we have in the Lord and the things of God, the more that faith grows, the more confident we're going to be in the Lord, in His Word. We're more confident we're going to be that everything He has said He would do, He'll do. The more confident we're going to be in His will for our life, faith. The more our faith grows, the more confidence we're going to have in the things of God. I was thinking about that thing of confidence. You know, it seems like confidence, like in society, in American society now especially, confidence is something that people without the Lord out in the world really seem to battle with, really seem to struggle with. Depression's big. People have anxiety problems. People have all these self-image problems. And I'll tell you why that is. It's because they're putting their faith in the wrong thing. They're putting their belief in the wrong thing. See, the message out there, what all these girls and boys are being told is believe in yourself. You just need to believe in yourself. You know, believe you can do it. Well, that's what faith is. Faith is belief. Believe. You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Faith and belief, you know, they're very, very simple, the same thing. And so whenever we put our faith, put our belief in ourselves, we're not going to have a lot of confidence in that because we fail so many times. We struggle so much. What happens is people struggle and they battle and have hard times and depression. And someone comes along and says, you just need to believe in yourself. And so they try to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and believe in themselves. And the next day they're right back to square one. And it's just kind of this constant, you know, this repeating cycle, you know, this downward spiral, because they've got a belief, but their belief is in the wrong thing. But faith in Christ, as our faith grows, the more our confidence will grow in the Lord. And by the way, confidence leads to boldness. Whenever you're confident about something, you tend to be bold about that thing. Something that you are very knowledgeable about, you're willing to be, you are confident in your, and you're confident in your knowledge about it, that causes you to be bold about it. You're willing to speak up about it and talk about it with confidence and with boldness and without reservation, because you know what you're talking about, right? And so the more our faith grows, the more our confidence grows, the more our boldness grows. And so joy, what about peace? The more our faith grows in the Lord and the things of God, the more peace we'll have in our heart, that no matter really what happens, you know, we've got peace that this is the Lord's will and He's in control because I've got faith. I believe that. And so faith brings a lot of great results into our life, but I think if we look around, not as many Christians probably have those things, maybe what should, and maybe all of us don't have those things as evident in our lives as what they should be. I'll tell you what the problem is. Any area that we're lacking spiritually, it's a lack of faith. We struggle with faith. We have an unbelief problem. And so I said all that to say this. I want to give you a few things tonight, about seven different things straight from the Bible, ways to increase your faith. Ways to increase your faith. Your faith can and should and needs to increase. As you grow in the Lord, really, really growing in the Lord is our faith growing in the Lord. That's what that is. As we grow, what it means is our faith is growing. That's what's growing. And so, let me give you seven different ways. Seven Bible ways to increase your faith. And all of our faith needs to be increased. Amen. All right, number one. You can increase your faith by fixing your heart to God's promises. Romans chapter 4. You're in Romans chapter 10. Turn back just a few pages to Romans chapter 4. Look at what it says here. You can increase your faith by fixing your heart on God's promises. Romans chapter 4. Look in verse 19. Now, he says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Now, y'all know who he's talking about here? He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about Abraham and that promise of that promised seed that God made to him. He said, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So Abraham's heart was fixed on God's promise to him. God made him a promise, and in spite of everything, all the circumstances surrounding that promise that said, all the outside circumstances that would say, there's no way for this to come to pass. Abraham had his heart fixed on what God said, and he believed God would do what he said he would do. And the Bible says he was strong in faith. And did God do what he said he would do in Abraham's life? Absolutely he did. We're still seeing that. You know, over 2,000 years later, we're still seeing the results of that promise coming to pass in Abraham's life. So in verse 19 there, we see Abraham was not weak in faith. It said, being not weak in faith. His own body wasn't a problem in his eyes. He said he was about 100 years old. God's promised him a son, and he's 100 years old, about 100 years old at this point. But that wasn't a problem in Abraham's eyes. He never even considered it. Basically, according to the Bible, he never thought for a second, well, I'm 100 years old. I can't have a baby. Now, Sarah laughed at it. But God made Abraham a promise, and Abraham didn't consider the deadness of his body. He also didn't, his wife's dead womb wasn't a problem in his eyes. Abraham didn't consider his 100-year-old body a problem, didn't consider his wife's closed womb at that time a problem. He just simply believed God. See, that's something else that faith does in our life. As faith grows, faith doesn't see problems. I heard Brother Alfred Willis say one time, faith doesn't see problems, it sees prospects. It doesn't see the problem. See, whenever we have little faith, and we know, you know, say we see something in the Bible, God commands us to do or not do something in the Bible, but we have little faith. When we have little faith, the natural man sees that and speaks and says, oh, there's no way I could do that. Or there's no way I could fulfill that. Or there's no way I could do or not do that. You know, regardless of what God's will is, the natural man, the natural side of us always says there's just no way. But faith steps in. Faith says, well, God said it, so it's going to get done. And if you have little faith, the natural man's going to win out. If you have great faith, the faith is going to win out. You say, which one is stronger? The one you feed. The one you feed is the one that's going to get stronger. And so whenever our faith grows, you know, you see fewer problems. You just see what God said to do, not do, and you just believe God will do what He said He'd do. So in verse 19, we see that Abraham was not weak in faith, but in verse 20, we see Abraham's heart was fixed on God's promise, as I said. It says he didn't stagger. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You know what that word stagger means? Means to separate, means to withdraw from, means to waver. If you stagger on your feet, you waver, you get a little unsure, get a little unsure of your footing, you know. And the Bible says that that never happened to Abraham when it comes to God's promise. He never staggered, never wavered, never withdrew. He just was gung-ho the whole time. He just simply believed God. So staggering is caused by unbelief. And we all stagger at some point. Whenever we don't see how the ends are going to meet, whenever we don't see sometimes how maybe the bills are going to get paid, whenever we don't see sometimes how things are going to work out, whatever the situation is, we can kind of stagger. I tell you, I can stagger sometimes, get a little unsure where I don't see how it's all going to work out on paper and I don't see a path to victory. And so I think, well, I don't know how this, you know, you get anxious and don't know what's going to happen and how it's all going to work out. You know, it's going to solve that, fixing our heart on God's promises. That's it, faith. Fixing our heart on God's promise, that'll grow our faith. Remembering what God said and believing that He'll do it. Says he staggered not. So staggering is caused by unbelief. And he was strong in faith. He glorified God, the Bible says. So faith, that's something else faith does. Faith not only doesn't see problems, but faith also makes you stable. That's one of the benefits of faith. Faith brings about stability in your life and my life. Whenever our faith grows, we're not up 1 minute and down the next, and up 1 minute and down the next. We're not in 1 minute and out the next. We're not, you know, in and gung-ho and enthusiastic one Sunday and then out and discouraged and can't get out of bed the next Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Because our faith grows, it makes us stable. It gives us stability. We don't stagger and waver all the time. That's why our faith needs to grow. And our faith can grow, it can increase. So verse 21, we see Abraham was fully persuaded. That's something else faith does, is again, faith makes you confident. See, he was fully persuaded. Verse 21 says, he being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He never flinched. He was fully persuaded. That helped all of us. At times in our life, at any point in our Christian life, it would help us to be fully persuaded that what God has said He would do, He'll do. Amen? And so, again, faith brings confidence. That's what full persuasion is confidence. Confidence brings boldness. Faith brings so many tremendous things in our life, but that faith has got to increase if we're going to reap those benefits, we're going to reap those blessings. So, you can increase your faith by fixing your heart on God's promises. Okay? Number two, you can increase your faith by praying for more faith. Did you know that? You can pray for faith. Pray that God would give you faith. Turn over to Mark 9. Look in Mark chapter 9. If we lack anything, we need to ask of God. And faith is right there with it. If you or me, if we lack faith or need more faith, if our faith needs to be increased, we ought to ask God, God, would you increase my faith? Would you please? See, delight thyself also, Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so whenever we draw nigh to God and we learn more about God, you know, our desires, what he starts to fix our heart to where we start desiring the things that he desires. That doesn't mean he's the Santa Claus in the sky and he gives us whatever he wants. It means that he changes our heart and causes us to desire the things that he desires. Therefore, the desires of our heart are the things that he desires. So he can give us the desires of our heart when our hearts match his heart. Well, wouldn't increasing our faith, wouldn't that match his heart? Doesn't he want our heart? Doesn't he want our faith to be increased? We can pray for faith. Look in Mark 9, look in verse number 17. Jesus has just given the parable of the sower here. And in verse 17 it says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith to him, If thou canst believe, now here it is. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now I said he's just got done giving the parable of the sower and I got ahead of myself. That's in another passage I'm going to get to in a minute. So I got confused on that. I want to straighten that out. But Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. If. We'll look in verse 24. It says, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I've prayed that prayer many times. Because I need to believe more. And my belief lacks. You know what belief is? Faith. He tells the Lord, he cries out with tears. I mean, he's in a moment of desperation. He's got to have help. And his boy has got this problem. And he's got to have help. And the Lord tells him, if you can believe, all things are possible. He says, oh Lord, he says, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So he prays for faith. He prays that the Lord would increase his faith. He prays that the Lord, in the areas where he lacks, he believes. He believes that Jesus is who he says he is. He believes that Jesus is the Lord. He believes those things, but evidently he's got some areas where he struggles to believe. Maybe not that he's the Lord, but maybe he struggles to believe that Jesus can really help him, you know, or whatever it is. He just realizes he's got areas in his life where his faith isn't what it should be. So he cries out to the Lord and says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help my faith. Strengthen my faith. Have you ever asked the Lord for more faith? You ought to. If your faith isn't what it should be, if you struggle in the area of faith, you ought to ask the Lord, Lord, give me more faith. Lord, help grow my faith. Bless me with more faith. Because, by the way, faith comes from the Lord already anyways. Now, there's a degree of the human element and there's a degree of responsibility that we have to exercise our faith and all those things, and we understand that. I'm going to get to it in just a minute, actually. But faith comes from the Lord. I mean, we all have a measure of faith that the Lord gives us that we have to act upon, but we ought to ask the Lord for faith. And think about this. Whenever this man here cries out to the Lord asking for faith, You realize that that in itself is faith. That's right. It says, Lord, I can't do it. I can't. I believe, but you got to help my unbelief. I can't do it. So it says, I can't do it, but then it also says, Lord, I believe you can do it because the Lord is the one you're asking. See, that's faith. Faith is whenever we say, Lord, I can't do it, you're going to have to do it. I've got to have your help with this. Lord, I've got this sin that I'm battling with that I can't overcome. You're going to have to help me. I'm trying and I can't do it. Lord, I can't. I need your help. And Lord, I'm struggling in the area of faith and believing you in this area, in this situation. And I'm trying my best, but Lord, I need your help. It says I can't do it, but I believe you can. And so you're asking Him. That in itself is faith. So you can increase your faith by praying for more faith. You can also increase your faith by exercising the faith we already possess. Turn in Luke 8. This is the passage I was mentioning a minute ago where the Lord has given the parable of the sower. And in Luke chapter 8, the very end of this discourse here, verse 18, he says, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. So this verse here lays out a divine principle for us. It lays out the divine rule that's got a positive and a negative to it. And what it's doing is it's exhorting us to use our opportunities and use the things the Lord gives us well, to be good stewards of the things that the Lord's blessed us with, be good stewards of the privileges God's blessed us with. Now you can apply this in many different areas, but it also applies to faith. The positive side of it is where he said, whosoever hath, to him shall be given. In other words, if you use what you have, you'll be given more. Use what you've got, and the Lord will bless you with more. He that is faithful in the least, he can be, you know, kind of faithful in much, right? So if the Lord blesses you with something and you use it, he'll give you more of it. Blessings that are used well will result in more blessings. That's the positive side of it. So the Lord's given each man a measure of faith. And tonight, if you're saved and you've put your faith in Christ as Savior, you've got the faith that, you know, that brings everlasting life. But you got to keep acting and working on the faith that you've got that the Lord might increase and give you more faith. It doesn't the Bible say from faith to faith? It's a building. 1 Peter, the chapter 1, he lists all those things that you should add to your faith. And so when we work and exercise the faith we already have, the Lord will give us more. That's the positive. The negative side is where he said, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. In other words, you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's it. That's it. And he actually mentioned that, uses that same illustration. Bodily exercise profiteth little. But then he gives the spiritual side of it, that whenever we exercise unto godliness, it profiteth unto all things. And so you don't use it, you lose it. See, many, many folks, they have lost what they're lost their blessings because they did not use and exercise their blessings. They've lost their opportunities because they didn't exercise their opportunities. They've lost their abilities because they didn't exercise their abilities. And the same works with faith as well. If we want to increase our faith, we need to exercise, work on, and be obedient to the faith that we already have. If you want more light, obey the light you've got. If you want to understand more of the Word of God, obey the parts you do understand now. You know, so faith, exercise what you've already possessed. Number four, if you want to increase your faith, you can do so by looking unto Jesus. Now, I know that's a simple, almost a cliche thing to say because that's used so much, but turn over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, very popular passage here. And I don't want the familiarity of all this to cause us to miss the depth of it, okay? Look in Hebrews 12, verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our," what? Faith. That's what we're talking about, faith. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So how can you increase your faith? You can do so by looking unto Jesus. The Bible here says He is the author of our faith. The author is the one who produces, creates, or brings into being. If you look up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word author, it relates that word to the to God in terms of the creation of the universe, in terms of creation. Because He's the one who authored it. He created it. He set it into motion. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for Him. So He's the author. He's the one that founded it in the very beginning. But then it says He's also the finisher. That is, finisher is one who completes or perfects. So He started our faith. He's the author. He's the finisher. He'll be the one to complete it. He'll be the one to finish it. He's going to be the one to bring it all together. Anything good out of our life that comes is going to be because of Jesus. It's not going to be because of us. That's right. So we'll cast every crown at His feet. I heard Brother Alfred Willis say one time that he has learned in ministry and in his Christian life that if things are going good, it's the Lord's fault. And if things are going bad, it's His fault. And you can pretty much chalk it up that in your life it's the same way too. If things are going good and good things are happening and you're being blessed and you're growing, it's not anything you're doing. Now you might be being obedient to what God said, doing your best to be faithful, but at the end of the day, the Lord is the one doing it. But if things are going bad, it's pretty much your fault. It's pretty much my fault. That's the way it always is. Because He is the author and the finisher. He's the one who completes and perfects it all. So as we mature, it's going to be Him doing it. Right? That's why we have to look unto Him to do it. Because He's the finisher. You're not going to perfect yourself. You're not going to grow and increase your own faith. It's going to be Jesus that does it. We have to look to Him to do it. Now you're saying, does that mean I just sit back and do nothing and just expect Him to increase it? No, that's not what it means at all. Not even close. Basically, this is what it means. It means all we can really do in the Christian life is do what Jesus has told us to do in His Word and then just trust that He'll do the rest. That's what it means. It means you look unto Jesus. He's told me to do this in the Word, and I don't see how it'll work out, and I don't see how He can bless this, and I don't see how He can use this, and I don't see how He can use me, and I don't see any of that, but this is what He said do, or this is what He said not do, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just going to do this and look unto Him to bring it all to pass and to work everything out and to increase my faith in it, to work it all out. All I can do is just do what He's told me to do in His Word. That's just like, thinking about the street preaching thing. Pretty much anyone you talk to, inside or outside the church, would say, What is the point in that? What's the point in knocking doors? What's the point in street preaching? What's the point in doing it? Well, we're not seeing people get saved. People ain't interested in things of God. You know, I mean, on and on and on. What good does it do? Well, I'll say this. It does at least as good as sitting home doing nothing. It does at least that good. Yeah. There's a lot of benefits, like we preach Sunday night, right? It does at least as much good as watching a movie. At least, right? But most everybody would say, what good does it do? Well, I'm not really concerned with what good does it do. Every prophet, every disciple, every apostle, the early church, all of them preached in public places. They took public stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were commanded to do it. God's told us to do it. It pleases God. And so what I'm going to do and what we as a church need to do is just to do our best, our absolute best. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So we ought to just do our very, very best for the glory of God. And then look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to bless it if it's going to be blessed. That's what looking unto Jesus is. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do and look to Him to take care of the rest. You can increase your faith if you'll just look unto Jesus. By the way, you can also save yourself a lot of pressure and anxiety if you'll just look unto Jesus. Right. If it's going to get done, He's going to be the one doing it. It takes a lot of pressure off of you and off of me whenever we're just doing what we're doing to glorify the Lord and leave the results to Him. You know, if I'm going to ever grow and become some super Christian, it's going to be Him that does it. It's not going to be me. All I can do is obey and do what He's told me to do. That's the best I can do. And by the way, if I become a super Christian, great. And if I don't, that's fine too. Whatever His will is, we're just saved, man. We're just saved by the grace of God and going to heaven. It's all His grace anyways, and He does what He wants to do. And by the way, if we'll be faithful, we get the same rewards as the super Christians anyways. You know, I mean, in other words, we just got to look unto Jesus. We're doing this for Him. If we ever get our eyes off of Him and start doing it for some other reason, we're going to burn out and quit. That's why everybody's so interested, like getting back to the public ministry. That's why everybody's so interested in results, and they're so interested in what good it does, because they're not doing it for Jesus. They're doing it for results. They're not looking unto Him, saying, I'm doing this because I want to please Him. They're doing it because they want results. But you can increase your faith and keep going. And by the way, part of having more faith is being more faithful. And if you look unto Jesus, you'll be more faithful to just keep on going even when there are no results, because you're looking unto Him for the results. Brother Ernest just said it. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah knew on the front end there would be no results. Not one. And God told him He wouldn't. God told him there was going to be no results, you know. Look at Noah. He preached all those years and his family was the only one that got in. Look at Jesus Himself. I mean, crowds were up, crowds were down. When it was all said and done, there wasn't just but a handful. One preacher said when they did communion, when they had the supper, what was it, only 11 showed up? No, they were all there. It was Thomas that didn't show up after the resurrection. But then he said when they had prayer meeting, only 3 showed up. You know? Isn't that right? Only 3 showed up, and the 3 that did show up, they fell asleep. I mean, so look at the Lord, you know, in His ministry. I'm just saying that we do it for Him. We do what we do for Him. Amen. All right, let me move on. It'll increase your faith to look to Jesus, but then also you can increase your faith by trusting the Lord. All right. Now, again, I know that seems very simple or whatever, but let me just read this. I'm not going to have you turn. You might want to mark this verse down. But Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says this. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. He knoweth them that trust in Him. See, trusting is taking belief a step further. You can believe in something all day long. But whenever you trust it, you take a step further. I can believe this bench will hold me up all day long, and I can tell everybody I believe it. Oh, I believe that. But whenever I actually sit down on it, that's trusting it. Right? I mean, how many people say that they believe in the Lord? How many people say they believe the Bible but never do anything the Bible says? Belief and trust are not necessarily the same thing. And some people may really believe what they say they believe. But trusting takes a little step further. Faith is based on the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. So faith is based on God's Word. Trust is based on His faithfulness and goodness. Okay? Faith is believing. Trust is stepping out on that belief. It's taking that step of faith. One man said, as faith follows, it discovers the Lord is faithful, therefore expands and becomes stronger. See, you believe that the Lord will do what He says He does, so you trust and you step out on what you believe. You exercise trust by stepping out. And whenever you exercise trust and step out, you see that the Lord is faithful. You see that even though you didn't know any way that it would all work out, the Lord did what He said He would do. He sustained you, you know, all that. And so belief comes behind that trust and sees God's faithfulness and sees God's goodness. And it grows on that. It's putting belief, putting faith into action. And so you can increase your faith by simply trusting the Lord. In other words, taking what you say you believe and stepping out on it. And it may just be a little step at first. But every step you take on your faith and what you believe, you'll find God faithful every time. And that'll just cause you to want to trust Him more. That's exactly what I thought about. Peter could have sat in that boat all night saying, I believe that the Lord would sustain me out there. But trust stepped out of that boat. That's it. As long as he was looking unto Jesus for the results, he stayed afloat. Right? And with every step, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, no doubt, again, as long as our eyes are on Christ, with every step we go more confident and our faith grows because we find Him faithful. We find Him good. We find Him a strong tower, like Nahum said. Every step of trust. So you can increase your faith by trusting the Lord. You can increase your faith by reading the Word of God. Now, Romans 10:17, our original text, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is produced by believing what the Bible says. Whether you're hearing it preached or whether you're reading it yourself, you receive it as truth. And you say, I'm going to do that because that's what the Bible says. John 20, verse 31 says, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why it was written. It was written that you might believe. It was written that you might have faith. And the more you read what is written, the more faith you will have if you'll believe it. Last of all, number 7, you can increase your faith by exercising the will to believe. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 16, last verse, and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 16. I'll show you this one last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Paul is closing this letter up, closing down this epistle, giving his last few instructions here. And in verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Now those are commands, one right after the other. Now, why would he command them to do these things if they were just going to happen? You know, if they didn't have to exercise towards it, or they didn't have to, you know, intentionally do it, why would he command it? Well, he wouldn't. He'd be wasting his time. See, there is a human element in a human side. Faith is an act of the will. Did you know that? Faith is an act of the will. That's right. It's an act of the will. Sometimes you and I have to make up our mind that we'll have faith. Now, that's not all it is to it. I mean, we know God's got to work and God's got to do a lot of different things. And God's got to give us the faith. But see, God's not going to believe for us in everything. This is man's part of it. God's done His part. He's done everything He needed to do. It's up to you and me to make the next move. See, there's a degree of making up your mind to have faith. And this is what it looks like. Situation comes up, or you're faced with something, whatever it is, and in your mind, you know what the Bible says. You know what God said to do or God said to not do in this situation, whatever it is. Now, the natural side of you looks at the situation and says, I don't see how I could ever do this. It ain't possible. That's right. It ain't possible. It's not possible for you to make it doing what that book says. The spiritual side of you will say, you know you need to do what the Bible says. What you're going to have to do is make up your mind. You're going to have to make up your mind. God's not going to do it for you. He's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to step in and you know, force you to love Him. Oh, you've got to love me. You've got to do what I said to do. No, He's not going to do it. He's a perfect gentleman. He's going to let you make up your mind. And if you want your faith to increase, if you want more faith than what you've got right now, what you got to do, you've got to make up your mind and say, by God's grace, I'm going to do what I know that Bible says do and look to Him for the results. I'm going to exercise my will to faith. And really what it is, it's a submission of your will. It's a giving of your will over to the Lord and says, Lord, you just take care of this. I'm just going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. So how can you increase your faith? You can increase your faith by fixing your heart to God's promises, by praying for more faith, by exercising the faith you already possess, by looking unto Jesus, by trusting the Lord, by reading the Word of God, and by exercising your will to believe. Those are Bible ways that you can increase your faith. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace, and thank You for the blessing it is to be in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for helping us with Your Word tonight. And Lord, I thank You for Your Word, and thank You, Lord, that we can increase our faith. And I pray that You would help us to increase our faith. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to all grow, to trust You more, to lean on You more, to look to You more, Lord, that we might be greatly blessed with all the things that You so desire to bless us with. And so, Lord, I thank You for what You've done, what You're going to do. Bless us this Lord's day. Help us. May Your perfect will be done in our lives, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.